Bibles yet. We was in Ephesians chapter 6 last week. And I just combed over briefly over top of the where it says, put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're in a battle. So if it's God's design, according to John 15, 16, He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you should ask the Father in my name, He shall give it you. If God's ordained us to bear fruit, devil's idea is to make sure we don't bear fruit. You getting the picture? And to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And if God's wanting us to shine, it's the devil's job to put the light out. So let's look a little deeper into these study here of realizing we're in a battle. You're in a battle to read your Bible. You're in a battle to pray. You're in a battle to do right. And it don't take much for the devil to take your thought process in between these two ears. And there ain't much there. And some folks it's easier for others to get off track. And some folks they have no problem staying on track. My table's small, so it only holds so much and things start falling off of it. You with me? Okay, we're together. So Satan knows this also, and he knows that God's chosen us and ordained us that we bear forth fruit. And so the devil, he's sitting back stewing, and he's as a roaring lion, according as Peter says, and he's seeking whom he may devour up. So in our minds, to get us fretting or worrying or get our minds focused on one certain subject where our minds is off God, I guarantee you won't be handing out a tract or trying to witness somebody if your mind's somewhere else. So if the devil can get your mind somewhere else, he's got you already. So that's his objective. He's lost your soul. He realized, okay, I've lost that battle. He knelt before God. He cried for the mercies of God to save him. Now he's born again. I've lost him. Now I got to make him useless for the cause of Christ. And that's the objective of the devil, to make you useless where you're ineffective for the cause of Christ, where you can't reach nobody. There's no, you be a none effect, or to make you to where you're overbearing or you're pushing too hard. That's something Jamie said. He goes, something I like about you, don't push the gospel down someone's throat. I said, no, I just present it. You take it or leave it. It's your choice. You choose. And so we leave it in their hands, and we pray that God take it. I'm not the Holy Spirit. It's God's job, the Holy Spirit, to work inside someone. So I'm just, my job is to give the word and leave it up to God. And then we've seen also in Matthew chapter 7, and just stay your place in Ephesians. I'll be with you here in a minute. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Then we know in 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as roaring lion seeketh about whom he may, seeking whom he may devour. And verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And we know according to James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So from these verses we see where the battles are raging on. And then we've seen there in Galatians a few weeks back in chapter 5 verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do that what you would. So we see the battle's everywhere. And the battle's to get you where you do not bear fruit. And you've sat there, and I did it, where God's nudging your heart to do something. And you sat there and didn't do it. been there? I've been there more than once. That's a hurtful thing, but the Bible does say, confess your faults one to another, you'd be healed. I don't want to do it no more. When them opportunities come, God nudges, I just want to be able to give it and say, yes, I did what God wanted me to do. Because you feel good when you do right. There's that sweet peace that God puts inside, knowing you obeyed Him, knowing you obeyed God, and knowing you did something for the kingdom of God. God could do, use any means He'd want to, but what's God use? It's His Sunday school. What's God use? Us. Your hoes and shovels and axes and pickaxes all in God's woodshed. Some are bigger and heavier, and some are made to chop bigger chunks out. Some are made just to hoe a little. Some are made for small, but we're all made to work. And God's the husbandman of the garden and of the bear fruit, and He's going to use us one way or another. So as we look at these things, you can think of Brother Lloyd Jones about as he helped me and I to rest down deep. And you can, how you say it, Pastor? Van Ryn? August. Van Ryn. Van Ryn. And he helped too. And see, who else? Who else do I read after? There's, I read this input and to give deeper understanding. When good books are a good thing, man. I tell you, they kick down doors where I'd read over it and I'd park a little while and sail around a little bit. But I tell you what, some of these fellas, man, they get in deep where they drop anchor and they stay, they camp out in the space and they don't move around, and I like it. So let's look here in Ephesians again. Now, we just briefly went over it last week. Where it said, let's look at verse 10, read into it. It said, finally, my brethren, he's ending this letter up to the church of Ephesus. He's ending it up, and then he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He's telling us how to do this battle. He's telling us how to accomplish this. To be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, put on, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, since we know these things we wrestle against, so is it flesh and blood we're wrestling against? There's something else out there. There's a power and a source that's in the air. And if you got a TV set, you better watch it. Devil's keen and sharp, and radio, music, internet, any means of way of putting something in your head to get you chewing on something that you're wasting your time with. And it's all for naught. So these principalities, these powers, the rulers of darkness, this world, these spiritual wickedness in high places, all the systems of the law and everything that's piled on it, just they're pushing all this crud our way to accept it. And then the more we see of it, the more it's trying to just get us used to the dark. And if we don't stay in God's Word into the light, we'll slowly just start getting dimmer and dimmer, and that bushel goes over that light, and pretty soon we're totally consumed with all that's going on around us, instead of standing up, standing out, and shining for the glory and honor of God. He says, first of all, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand. So we stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And when I read this, I didn't really understand. There's six pieces of armor here, all together. Three of them are fixed upon our body. the loins that are girt, and you got to picture this. These guys would are mostly wear in that time like a Geneva gown. It was flowing. It covered. So to go in battle with a Geneva gown thing on that float around, it'd be getting in your way. You couldn't pull a sword out, or you'd be tripping over it. It'd be getting hung on this. So this girl would actually pull everything up, and they'd fasten it in place. So it's fixed upon you, which brung comfort to that soldier at that time. But is he talking about a real piece of armor here? No. It's much deeper than that. Let's look at it again. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. I'm going to stop here. So our loins girded about with truth. Now, give me some feedback. What is it talking about? Truth. Now, if you took that with the tail end, because he says the tail end, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the Bible. The truth. Taking of God's Word. What devil use? When he fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Oh, we're going to get the buzzing here. When he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was a hungered, he was a thirst. Who come to him? The devil did. Tempted him. Said, thou be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. Could he have done it? Yes, he could have done it. But what'd he say? Huh? Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. He could have done that, but there's something more important that he was pointing at was he spoke the Word of God to the devil. And what do we know according to Psalm 119, verse 11? There's a key here I'm trying to get. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If we're going to fight the devil, you better have some of the Word of God rooted and grounded down in you to where you can, where it's inside you. And it's just not the truth as that one verse. It's the truth as doctrine altogether. Think about what truth would this stand on. Let's look at it again. Stand therefore, having the loins girded about with truth. The strongest part of our body is our loin. In a battle, physically speaking, in a battle, you chop a man's legs out, you put a wound on his leg, now this guy's, he's only got one good leg, he's hurt already. Because you already wounded one leg. If he can knock the other leg out, he's got you then, you're down for the captain, and you're out of the picture. So the truth of God's Word, the doctrine of God, the devil, well, he's trying to change our Bible, trying to change how we be saved. He's trying to change what you do to get a hold of God. Oh, I pray every day. You know folks like that? Oh, God's like a wagon wheel. It's got many spokes, but it all goes to the center. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. So to understand this truth, the truth of the doctrine we stand on, a salvation, the doctrine of all that we put our faith into, devil attacks every bit of it. And if he can knock them truths out, we're wounded, we're hobbling, and he's looking for the kill. As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If your mind's here on this big fairy tale, if your mind's over here, and well, what about aliens? What did they really exist? They got pictures of them. Boy, the devil can really get your mind wandering. How do we know Noah's Ark? How do you get all them critters on there anyways? That don't even make sense. I tell you what, it's got to a point where if the Bible would have said Jonah to swallow the whale, God would have figured out how to do it. He'd have been a funny looking fella, little stubs, you know, and his big body, you know, but God would have figured it out. I've just made up my mind what God says, just to take it and believe it. Just to grab hold and hang on and believe what God said. God says, don't do it, don't do it. God says, stay away from it, stay away from it. God says if you need to be in God's Word every day and you ought to walk with Him, you ought to be doing it. Don't be playing games. So, taking your loins, gird about with truth. Here, I'll give you something old Lloyd Jones said. See what he say here. I can get it. He referred, said, wherefore, and he used this, gird up the loins of your mind. Where'd that come from? You can tell me the scripture. And he compared it with this, and I said, boy, that's good. Look over in John chapter 8. Let's read together. And I'll have to finish right there. John chapter 8. We'll start in verse 30 and read down. Everybody there say amen. Amen. There's three of you and say amen. Verse 30 says, and he spake these words. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, according to James. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What's that talking about? What else is that talking about? What else is that talking about? The Lord make you free. He just brought in a verse there. Did you catch that? He said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth there. He just brought in, whose servant are you? Whose servant you belong to? I belong to God. So if I belong to God, I ought to obey Him. And if I obey Him, He can make me free indeed. Is that my power? No, it's His power. And what the armor is saying, put you on the whole armor of God. And we just covered a little bit about having our loins girt about with truth. See the difference when you park on something and sail a while, how it just gets deeper? The truths of God's Word, we need them in our lives continually. Folks, I'll be here for Sunday school and they're not here. And they say they want to grow in the Lord. I say, get out of bed. Don't be like Shadrach, Meshach, and back to bed I go. No. Get out of bed. Get to church. Can't grow. But that's what's needed. And the devil's clever, man. He'll make sure you don't sleep. He'll make sure you're up. Saturday night's my hardest night to get to bed. Shoes disappear in the morning, can't find socks, and boy, it's just chaos Sunday morning. Anybody like that? I see some folks laughing. They say, yep, we know what that's like. Yeah, the devil, he's clever. Yeah. So, I'm going to read you this one. And John says, sanctify them, he says, by the truth. The word is truth. Sanctification is by the truth. So this word truth and faith is almost, they're almost interlinked right here. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and we know that. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them which diligently seek Him. Not just in prayer, not just in your Bible, but in our daily lives. It's surrendering to Him. Allowing Him to have His will and way in our lives. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If I go out and say, well, Lord, I hope I get to serve You today. Open the Bible. Well, I hope I get something out of it. Or I come to church. Well, I hope I get something. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Sound like I'm going to get anything? I come to church like, yes, it's me, Lord, I'm ready. Fill her up. I ain't talking about the offering. That's my drinking cup. No. I ain't talking about money. So get your head out of the gutter. I'm talking about getting something from God. A blessing from Him. God, fill me up. Open His Word. God, give me something. I'm ready. Kneel down and pray. God, I'm ready to meet You. I'm ready to pray. Go to work. Lord, there's somebody there. Boy, You're going to open up opportunity. I'm going to get to tell somebody about Jesus. You know what? He gets to do that. I get to do it. Praise His holy name. He does, if you let Him. But you got to stand there for, above all,